I'm Marco Werman. You're tuned to The World, where we don't just cover the breaking news from around the globe. We also think about the big picture. And following independence votes in both Catalonia and Kurdistan recently, I have a lot of big picture questions, like when is secession a good idea? Or what is the future of nation states? Malka Older has unique perspectives on all of this. In her sci-fi thrillers Infomocracy and Null States, she imagines a new international order where nation-states as we know them don't exist anymore. So I asked Malka to describe what she's envisioned as an alternative.
So the model that I propose in my book, which isn't necessarily supposed to be a perfect model, it's more supposed to be kind of a thought experiment that gives us an idea of the other directions that we could go, the alternatives that we're not looking at right now because we're so involved with nation states. The model in the book is what I call micro-democracy. And in it, the nation state has been replaced by a jurisdictional unit that's called a sentinel. And it's basically a group of 100,000 people. It's based on population, not geography. So that 100,000 people could be in a very dense couple of city blocks in Dhaka or New York, or it could be spread over hundreds of square miles in the steppe or the Australian outback. So it's about population. And those groups, those sentinels, can choose any government that they want in an election from all of the governments that are functioning in the world. So by government, I mean set of laws, procedures, processes, rules, cultural identification, whatever that government decides is important for defining their law and their unity.
How did you come up with this, Malka? Like, what realities kind of led you to this new world?
So it really was about the issue that we're talking about today, which is about secession and separatist movements. I worked as an aid worker and as a development worker in a lot of countries that had active, often violent secessionist movements. So Sri Lanka, for example, Sudan, where the secessionist movement has, one of the movements has since resulted in the most recent nation state in the world, which is South Sudan. I worked in a different part in Darfur, where it hasn't been successful. I worked in Indonesia, where East Timor was the nation state that split off prior to South Sudan. And as I was watching this happen in the places that I was working, I also became more and more aware that it occurred pretty much everywhere in the world. So also the places that I went to study or for vacation or to travel, we're seeing now obviously in Spain, but also in the United Kingdom, with Scotland, in France, in Italy, pretty much every nation in the world, including this one, has some degree of separatist or secessionist movement.
So having read Infomocracy, I thought of you recently when a friend of mine in Kenya asked rhetorically on Facebook, tell me why Africa shouldn't be divided into thousands of independent countries based on language and ethnicity. And I thought about that. In a way, that's kind of what we saw hinted at, and you referenced this too, in the secession referendum in Catalonia last weekend, leading to a violent crackdown. What we saw in Iraqi Kurdistan 2 weeks ago, which really upset Baghdad. What crossed your micro-democracy mind when those votes happened?
So as a general rule, I'm in favor of these things. I'm in favor of self-determination. On a personal side, I have some less good reasons for just having a natural inclination towards the secessionist movements, which is on the one hand, I am kind of in favor of underdogs, which is not a very good reason because one country's underdog is another country's oppressor, right? And I'm also kind of find it exciting and interesting when you have a new country wanting to come into the world stage, which is a really bad reason for being in favor because, you know, that means nothing to the people who are involved. But I also think that there are some very good reasons for being in favor of it.
Like
mainly
what?
Self-determination. Mainly the idea that, you know, when you look at the arguments against these referenda, I think there are good arguments against them as well that are possible from the economic side, from the political side. But I do think that those arguments have to come from the people involved, the people who would be splitting off, because those are the people most affected. And those aren't the arguments that are really being made in most of the mainstream press around these. Most of the arguments that are being made are it's illegal and otherwise, more generally, sort of arguments in favor of the status quo, arguments that if it happens here, it'll happen everywhere.
I mean, hit on that, because illegality is kind of a vague critique. But if I look at it closely, I can see how a nation like Spain that has relied on some kind of order for a century or more does not want to upset that order because of economic and political consequences. So, I mean, that's a problem, isn't it?
Well, I do think that there's an argument to be made about stability for economic and political reasons. But if you look at Spain's order for the past century, a lot of it has not been a very happy order.
Right.
You know, they had several decades of pretty ugly fascism and oppression under Franco, and before that, a civil war. And that is where a lot of this impulse towards independence is coming from. It's coming from the memory of a time when being part of this nation state was not a comfortable or pleasant it was not an experience that allowed Catalonia to fulfill its needs as a people. So, you know, I don't find that the order argument terribly convincing. And I think it's interesting to notice how these arguments, like the argument about legality, mirrors the arguments about immigration in this country.
How so? Walk us through that.
Well, here too, when we talk about immigration, a lot of times the argument that comes up against it is it's not legal. These people did something illegal. And that obscures, for one thing, the fact that there isn't, for many people and for many countries in talking about secession, there isn't a legal path to follow. So
it, kind of a priori, because why would a country want to allow anybody to leave the Union? Is that what you're saying?
Sure, but that's not actually true for all countries. So Scotland had a referendum, Quebec had a referendum, and those were both legal under their country's system of laws and constitution. So it's a bit of an arbitrary thing that this particular country decided that to have a referendum, to have a peaceful democratic means of looking at secession would be illegal, just as it's kind of arbitrary to decide that some types of immigration are legal and others aren't, and not have either clarity or ways to do it legally. And so I think when people use those arguments, it hides the fact, it makes you think, oh, well, why didn't they just do it legally? When in fact, for many people, there's no possible way. For many regions and countries, there's no way to ask for, request a legal dissolution. And they also make it seem like those laws are just a priori the way things should be. And they kind of tend to prevent a discussion about whether those laws are either morally and ethically right, or from other perspectives, you know, from an economic or political perspective, whether that's the best choice for the country as a whole.
So final question. I'm just curious to know what you thought of the impulse that some people on the West Coast and other parts of the country too, but especially the West Coast, had after Trump was elected. California was proposing secession. Whether it was serious or not, what occurred to you?
Whether they're serious or not, I think, you know, that's a question for them. I think I tend to take a long view of things. You know, I think that nation states are not permanent, and their composition is not permanent. And the way people want to live their lives and the governments that we figure out are changing all the time. And so I don't think it's a bad thing to have these discussions. In fact, I think it's a great thing. I think it's really worth looking at what will make our countries work better, what will make our different ways that we can figure out to try and be more representative and reflect more what people need from their governments.
Malka, thanks so much for your thoughts and for having this discussion with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Malka Older is a political scientist and novelist. Her latest book is called Null States.